Call to order the regular meeting of the Alaska City Council is called to order at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, April 28, 2026. I'll ask Councilman Coleman to read the mission statement.
Provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of leadership.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. City Clerk, may I have a roll call?
Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Mr. Longo? Ms. Luby?
Here.
Mr. Chastain?
Here.
Mr. Tungle?
Here.
Mr. Tudikoff?
Here. Councilman Longo's online.
He was earlier and then disconnected.
Okay, thanks. We do have a quorum. Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Welcome to all those sitting in the chambers this evening and those that are online. I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda.
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda. Second.
Moved by Councilman Luby, second by Councilman Coleman. Is there any objections? Hearing no objection, the agenda is adopted. First, next item on our agenda is mayoral proclamations. First, we have two. The first one is declaring May 3rd to the 9th, 2026, as Municipal Works Week. Whereas the Office of the Professional Municipal Clerk, a time-honored and vital part of local government, exists throughout the world, and whereas the Office of the Professional Municipal Clerk is the oldest among public servants, whereas the Office of the Professional Municipal Clerk provides the professional link between the citizens, the local governing bodies, and the agencies of the government at all their levels, whereas the Professional Municipal Clerk has pledged to be ever mindful of their neutrality and impartiality, rendering equal service to all. Whereas the Professional Municipal Clerk serves as the information center on functions of local government and community. Whereas Professional Municipal Clerk continually strives to improve the administration of affairs of the Office of the Professional Municipal Clerk through participation in education programs, seminars, workshops, and the annual meetings of their state, provincial, county, and international professional organizations. Whereas it is the most appropriate that we recognize the accomplishments of the Office of the Professional Municipal Clerk. Now, therefore, I, Vincent M. Tudikoff, Sr., Mayor, City of Unalaska, do recognize the week of May 3rd through the 9th of 2026 as a Professional Municipal Clerk's Week, and further extend appreciation to our City Clerk, S. Carlin Magadong, and Deputy City Clerk, Eden Sylvia, and all the Professional Municipal Clerks for the vital services they perform and their exemplary dedication to the communities they represent. Thank you, Municipal Clerk. Next proclamation is declaring May 3rd to the 9th, 2026, Public Service Recognition Week. Whereas the public servants serve the American people every day at the federal and state, county, and city levels, they do the work that keeps our nation moving forward. And whereas the public employees take not only jobs but take oaths, and whereas many public servants, including police officers, communication officers, firefighters, harbor officers, healthcare professionals, and others protect the community and risk their lives each day in the service to the people of the United States around the world. Whereas public servants include teachers, librarians, clerks, and administrators, project managers and program coordinators, planners and engineers, technicians and mechanics, and countless other occupations. Day in and day out, they provide the diverse service demanded by the American people of their government with efficiency and integrity. Whereas without these public servants and at every level, continuity would be impossible and a democracy that regularly changes its leaders and elected officials. Now, therefore, I, Vincent M. Tudikoff, Sr., Mayor, City of Unalaska, hereby recognize the week of May 3rd through May 9th, 2026, as Public Service Recognition Week. All citizens are encouraged to recognize the accomplishments and the contributions of the government employees at all levels. Okay, thank you, public servants, recognition people. Thank you very much for your work. Next item on our agenda is approval of minutes of previous meeting. We have a motion and a second to approve the proposed minutes of the special meeting of April 13th, 2026, and the regular meeting held April 14th, 2026, as presented.
Move to approve the minutes of previous meetings, April 30, 2026, and special meeting, April 14, 2026.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle and seconded by Councilman Chastain. Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the minutes are approved as presented. Next on our agenda are the reports. First, we have the March financial. So I'll turn this over to the interim city manager for our introduction.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And we have the finance director online tonight to present the March financials.
Good evening. Thank you, Abner. And good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. In your packet, you have the financials for fiscal year 2026 through 9 months, end of March 2026. Of note, 9 months is 75%. Again, that's typically the benchmark that I work with. A couple items on the revenue side that I wanted to touch base on. As you can see, sales tax is at 71% of budget, which would represent that it's just below where we would expect it to be. However, March is a quarter end, and we will receive additional payments and revenue in April. Typically, that comes in the last half of the month. So I would expect when April financials come out that we will be well above the 10-month benchmark, which would be 83%. The raw seafood tax, you'll notice here, is at 93%, and that reflects a robust fishery A season for 2026. I also want to mention that I checked just a little while ago, and we have now, based on through today, we have exceeded our budget. We are at about $6.5 million in raw seafood tax, or about 108% of our budget. With respect to general fund expenditures, all departments are below the 75% threshold, so that's a good sign. And, Scarlett, if you could just scroll to the next page, I wanted to point out to council, towards the bottom of this page, I believe it is. You will notice that the sustainability fund has been added to these reports. What you will also notice is that March was not a very good month from an investment standpoint, with the portfolio losing nearly $2 million in value just due to the struggles in the financial markets. I will say that the markets have rebounded a bit in April. I cannot guarantee that April will completely turn that around, but I do believe it will show some improvement from March. With respect to the enterprise funds, Escar, the next page, please. In summary, the electric ports and airport funds are still struggling to meet budget, and we are taking that into consideration as we prepare the fiscal year 2027 budgets, particularly for those enterprises. You'll also notice that the water has already exceeded its budget. As it shows here, it's at 112% of budget. So that's certainly promising. And then wastewater, solid waste, and housing are all at or near budgeted revenue amounts through March. The last two items that I wanted to mention just briefly, Scarlett, if you scroll to, I believe it's the last two pages of the financial report. Keep going, Scarlett. It's where we have, they're both Excel workbooks that I've printed to PDF. This is the first, back two pages, Scarlett, one more. As you will see, now it's too far back. Thank you. As you will notice, this is the summary report that we discussed in greater detail at the April 14th council meeting. In this report here, you will see the amount available to appropriate with respect to the general fund, the 1% sales tax fund, and then each of the proprietary funds. And while you'll notice there's a $78 million total, please be advised there is a breakdown between each of the proprietary funds, general fund, and 1% sales tax fund. And then the last item, I did also include, again this month, the cash report that I've been providing on a monthly basis. And I would like some feedback from council. I don't recall if I received an answer in terms of whether or not council would prefer to continue receiving that report, or if they would prefer to receive the report that's on your screen right now. And with that, I'll turn it over to council if they have any questions.
Thank you, Jim. Council members have any questions or comments for Jim? Councilman Coleman?
Yeah, thank you. On the first page for the general fund revenues, could you please remind me the other revenues, what that encompasses?
Oh, you're going to test me. Let me see what I can come up with here for you. So the other, there's rents and lease income in there. So when I'm looking at thinking through moving forward, any tied-in rent is in there, land rent. Oh. It's also going to include other charges for services such as PCR passes, things of that nature, any fines or fees. That's typically what goes in there. And then there's also some other taxes that go in there. The state PILT goes in there, corrections contract, and some various grant dollars go in there. It's a bit of a catch-all.
Okay, thank you. And so, but that also is going to include the bed tax and the...
No, ma'am. The bed tax is actually on the next, it's on the next page.
Oh, those are all separated out.
Yes. Those are not accounted for in the general fund. They each have their own fund where we record revenues and expenditures.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you have any further questions on financials? From Jim. Councilman Luby.
Yeah, Jim, thanks for the first spreadsheet there with the available to appropriate. That's the one that means the most, because that basically tells us what's available and we haven't already, you know, said we could use it somewhere else. So to me, this is more important than the other one. It's nice to have the other one just to see what the fund balances are, but you know, it's not super useful because you don't know how much has already been spent unless you, you know, break it all down that way. So this is the best one. The only comment I would make was on like today, it doesn't matter most of the time, but the bed tax and the tobacco tax would have been nice to have on here because we are talking about community grants, which would also include that. So it would have been kind of nice, helpful to have that right with that, right underneath the 1% fund, just include those two things as well on what's available, because I know as we have money in there, but we also have appropriated some through the end of this year, which makes whatever the balance is to appropriate for next year. So that would be one comment there. And then another question I had on the proprietary funds. Can you remind me which, I know we increased rates on a couple of them, I believe, and then we were going to increase rates this year on another. We were alternating them, if I remember right. Is that correct?
I do believe with respect to the utilities, we completed the rate study in fiscal year 2025 to be adopted for fiscal year 2026. And Eric can probably speak to this better than I can. I do believe for fiscal year 26, all of the utilities increased their rates. But I do believe that water and wastewater are remaining the same for fiscal year 27. And Eric, please correct me if I'm incorrect on that.
Oh, he's coming to the podium here. I was thinking that we did a couple of them one year and we were going to alternate them with a couple the next year. So that's all.
We had increases for water, wastewater, and solid waste. And we're only expecting increases for electric this year and minor increases for wastewater.
Okay, thanks. So for FY27, we're in plan on increasing the electric rate based on that study that we did.
Yes.
Okay, and also a small one on wastewater?
Yes.
Certain. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Councilman Luby. Any further questions, comments on financial? None? Well, thanks, Jim. Appreciate the information, and we'll get back
thanks,
to
sir.
You next meeting. Next meeting.
You bet.
Thanks. Next, we have the city manager's report. I'll turn this over to Abner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a couple of quick notes on my written report. The Alaska Chamber is planning to visit the community for their outreach trip in June 24th, 25th, which I mentioned previously. After writing this report, we did have a meeting on Thursday last week, and some more information. The gubernatorial candidates visit, the Unalaska Visitors Bureau is going to be hosting that visit and a community forum. They're still in the middle of the detailed planning for that, but that's going to take place on June 23rd is the current plan. And from what I understand, it sounds like we have heard from six of the gubernatorial candidates which plan to attend, and one other has expressed that they're likely to attend. Also, I believe Bryce Edgman plans to come out for that visit as well. Also, if you didn't notice, the USDA Office of Seafood was announced, and we're working on some outreach information to try to position ourselves to take advantage of that new office and the benefits that it may bring. And then lastly, we received an email from Senator Sullivan's office regarding the Coast Guard icebreaker home porting, requesting that communities that are interested in being a host location for those put together some sort of a package, provide that to his office, and he'll forward it to the Coast Guard for consideration. So we are working on that at a staff level, and we'll keep you informed as necessary.
That's it? Finished? All right, thanks.
Yes, sir.
Any questions for the city manager, interim city manager? Please, Councilman Bungo?
On the power outage, I know I spoke to you on those first two, and then we have more lately. What's going on the power outage, and what can we do about it to prevent this? We got people complaining about burning their appliances.
Yes, Councilmember Tungle, there's been a variety of reasons for those power outages. There was a sprinkler activation in the building for one due to an exhaust leak that activated the sprinkler head, and that caused us to need to shut down two of the generators and have them recertified, make sure water didn't get inside them. That led to us being tight on generation for a while, and during that time, there was an offload on a ship, which brought the load over capacity, causing a shutdown. There was a transformer that failed out near the Coast Guard dock, and I feel like there's a third reason for one of the other ones. Eric, is there anything you can add to this for them for some clarity? But I'll let Eric come up and explain any more that he can. But the real answer is each one of those has been different, and it's not a specific problem. I think that we can say if we fix this, that will fix it. Other than the fact we have an energy storage system planned in the capital budget, and once we get that system in place, that will allow us to have time to recover when any one of those things happen, except maybe the transformer failure. But those other generator switches and things like that that happen in the powerhouse, that will smooth those out. So, Eric, anything you can add?
I think you covered most of them except for the last one, which was another generator that was online, and it's had intermittent issues with frequency control. And in addition to that, there have been some breakers that were not programmed correctly to open. So I think maybe the last outage we did have, it opened more sections of the grid than it had to. So that was another extended or spread out outage that we had.
Would be possible, when this thing happened, to get a report.
We can forward that to
so
you.
So we don't have to be in dark where,
yep,
when we get asked by a community, and we can answer those questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tungle. Any further questions or comments on the city manager report? Okay, thank you, Ebner. No further questions. We'll move on to community input and announcements. This is time for members of the public to provide information to the council or make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, and state your name. Roger.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Two items. One was just to report back to you on the Missoula Children's Festival. We had 72 children participate in the event. Little Miss Riding Hood was a play, or I think it was called Red Riding Hood. We had 235 people that attended the show, and we had probably the best music we've ever had. Linda Liebeck Robinson played the piano, and David David Paddish played the saxophone. That was the best music we've ever had at Missoula. And it was great. The second item is that the Unalaska Spring Cleanup is about to start. It'll be taking place from May 11th through the 23rd. You can pick your bags up at PCR on May 11th, but not before that time. So come get your bags. Come, let's go clean up the beaches and along the roadways and make spring cleaning, make the island look good again. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Roger.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. This is Dawn Johnson with IFHS. Two announcements. One, I wanted to just let you know of the successful health fair that we had on Saturday in collaboration with APIA and the Q Tribe. We were set up there for blood pressure checks and A1C checks, and we had over 85 people attend, and there were 81 A1Cs checked, which is blood sugar. And within that, we were able to catch 22 pre-diabetics and three people that were diabetic that they did not know. And so we were also able to have 28 blood pressure cuffs that were given out to people that had high blood pressure that they did not previously know. So it was very successful in the turnout and successful on getting people some care that they didn't know they needed, and allowing us to follow up with them. So good collaboration with APIA and Q Tribe. It was very successful, and we appreciated that partnership. The other thing is A2P2 is All Alaska Pediatric Partnership. This is an organization that helps coordinate care for pediatric patients through collaboration with healthcare facilities across the state. They are going to be here in Unalaska this Friday, May 1st, at the library from 12 to 1:30, and they are encouraging and inviting any parents with pediatric children to come meet with them and discuss what they can do for them and how they can give back. That is from 12 to 1:30 at the library on Friday.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening. As you know, this becomes a very busy time of year for things regarding the school, so just want to throw out some dates for you. This Friday is the multicultural celebration. I think there's 8 different groups coming, so it gets bigger and bigger. It's starting at about 1:10 p.m., so Friday afternoon, I encourage everyone to come out. That's definitely a demonstration and celebration of the diversity here in our community. Also, May 6th is Activity Awards Night. May 8th is the music festival, and you just talked a little bit about Mr. Paddish and the work that he's done, so come and celebrate our kids with that. They also had some of their students qualify for the state competition last weekend during that regional competition. Also coming up is scholarship night. I don't have the date for that, but they're doing that different this year. Instead of doing scholarship with graduation, it's a separate night so we can do a little bit more celebration with students and not trying to rush through that. And then finally, graduation is May 24th. On a different note, if you're following anything with legislation, House Bill 78 made it to the Senate. That's the one that's about defined benefits. So when it comes to public education or any organizations in the state retirement system, this is huge to be able to get defined benefits back, as well as lower the retirement age and many other things that will help us be able to recruit and possibly retain people in the state of Alaska. So keep your eye on that. It's supposed to go to House committee in the near future, and hopefully it makes it all the way to the governor. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, everybody. So we have quite a few events coming up for the Cowlwingan Tribe. Do I have to say my name? I don't know. Sorry. And Fisa Tudikoff, Culture Director here. So we have the MMIP week coming up, and that's in collaboration with USAVE, APIA, Police Department, and we'll be doing events May 4th to May 8th, and every one of those events are at noon or 5:30 to about 7:30 every one of those days, and we have a different schedule of events happening during all of those, and it'll be at the library, so it's open to the community. We'd love for everybody to come by and check out what we got going on. We'll have snacks and everything. Of course, we do Culture Night every Wednesday. That's also open to the community. We do different events every Wednesday, and sometimes we do projects throughout the week. And then we also just make sure everybody's aware that we're doing the Tribal Community Response Planning, which is a community-wide event for missing persons, and that's... We have letters going out to every stakeholder that we possibly can in Unalaska, and that event is, I think, kind of opened up to the community a little bit, too, so that we can also include any of our residentials and fishermen and things like that, so that, you know, that they're included in this planning process as well. That is very specific to missing persons and very specific to your community. So if you haven't seen that information, we'll make sure that you get that information when that event is. And so the MMIP coordinator for state of Alaska, I think it's Northwest, Ingrid Goodyear, she's actually the one that'll be leading us in this project and helping make sure that we get everything that we need to covered for that type of situation. I know this community comes together for these kinds of situations, but this will give us a little bit more lead on making sure that we do it fully and as much as possible, the faster we can, the better we can. And that's all I got, so thank you.
Okay, thank you, Aunt Fisha.
I'm Lynn Crane. I'm speaking for UVB because Catherine's running a little bit late tonight. They do still have tickets for the wine tasting, which is this Saturday, May 2nd, but they have fewer than a dozen left. So if you want tickets, you need to get a hold of them quick. Their phone number is 581-2612. They are also selling premium tables down on the lower level, which I think those are a more coveted place to sit for some reason. I'm not quite sure why. But anyway, so she wanted me to mention that. So call her at 581-2612. Then on behalf of the Museum of the Aleutians, Dr. Hatfield is under the weather. So I just want to remind folks that we have trivia this Thursday at 6:30 at the Norwegian Rat Saloon. Okay. Now, starting over with another 3 minutes, my name is Emlyn Crane, and right now I'm speaking on behalf of the Alaska Coalition on Housing and Homelessness. Some of you in this room probably received an urgent call to action email from me today regarding the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, or AHFC, Homeless Assistance Program funding. Governor Dunleavy's capital budget cuts their funding in half. To understand why these funds are important on Alaska, let me give you some background. For many years now, USAVE has received funding through the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation Homeless Assistance Program, which has enabled us to support people in securing or retaining safe housing and to provide a temporary shelter at USAVE or elsewhere for those who have no safe place to go. USAVE typically receives one of the smallest grants from AHFC, usually less than $40,000 per year. But in the last 11 years, these funds have enabled USAVE to assist 53 unique households consisting of 62 adults and 53 children in securing or retaining safe, affordable housing by helping with past due rent or utilities or with move-in costs such as security deposits or first month's rent. In the same period, these funds have also allowed USAVE to provide safe temporary shelter at facilities other than the USAVE shelter, like men or people who are intoxicated or just people who can't come to the USAVE shelter, to people who are homeless or stranded and were in need of temporary housing. Finally, these funds have helped pay USAVE shelter advocates and other direct service staff salaries so we could provide safe shelter as well as other vital services at USAVE to women and children who have survived domestic or sexual violence or other crimes or who are homeless for other reasons. The numbers I just quoted above do not include all those housed at USAVE over the last 11 years using AHFC funding. Receipt of these funds have helped to make our communities and region safer for all of us, and the AHFC HAP funds literally save lives throughout the state of Alaska. The governor's capital budget proposes a 50% cut to this funding, which I think is unconscionable. And the House Finance Committee does have the power to restore it. We really need folks to contact the House Finance Committee to restore the full AHFC Homeless Assistance Program funding in the capital budget. You can do so by emailing house.finance@akleg.gov, but please do so ASAP because the House Finance Committee will be meeting and talking about this tomorrow afternoon. If you'd like me to send you a sample email with language, just call me or email me. Okay, so we really need local people to speak out in support of this. These funds have made a difference for our community in the last 11 years, and it will be bad if we lose them, especially with the high prices that are coming our way with the war in the Middle East, the fuel, the food, everything's going to go up. We need that money. Okay, so please help us get it. Okay, now I'm moving on to another organization, and then I'll be done, I promise. I'm Lynn Crane, now speaking on behalf of USAVE. The Unalaska Interagency Cooperative will meet this Thursday, April 30, at 12 noon at the Unalaska Public Library. We usually meet on the fourth Thursday, but this month we're meeting a week later due to scheduling conflicts. The Interagency Cooperative is an informal meeting open to the public, usually lasts about an hour. It's a nice chance to find out about what's going on with various agencies in town. I think the folks from the Alaska Pediatric Project you were talking about will be there. You learn about stuff there that you don't hear about other places, so it's nice to see folks there. Safeway's Nourishing Neighbors program has raised more money for USAVE over the last few months, and thanks to that program, we'll soon be receiving another donation of prepaid Safeway cards. We'll be using them not only to help households with children during the summer months, but also to support our local elders, most of whom are on very fixed incomes, to deal with rising grocery prices. So we really want to thank Abe and Maria at Safeway and to everyone who donates to that program when doing their weekly shopping. USAFE is working with the tribe to hold a short march to recognize missing and murdered Indigenous women, or MMIW, to highlight the crisis of disproportionate violence against Indigenous women, who in some parts of the country face murder rates that are 10 times the national average here in the greatest country in the world. The continued high rates of MMIW demonstrate ongoing systemic failings, underreporting, and a colonial history that leaves victims ignored, and events like this march are a way to bring attention to these tragedies. We'll meet at the library parking lot Tuesday, May 5th at 5:30 p.m., and we hope to see you there. I'd like to let you know that USAFE is collaborating with IFHS, APIA, and the Unalaska Department of Public Safety to organize a local sexual assault response team, or SART, training. Sexual assault response teams operate on the philosophy that combines a victim-centered approach, multidisciplinary collaboration, and offender-focused accountability. SARTs are designed to transform the response to sexual violence from a fragmented system into a seamless, coordinated network that not only reduces the trauma for survivors, but also improves justice outcomes and increases the likelihood of a successful conviction. Our community, with our small, understaffed organizations that often have high turnover, has always struggled with keeping people trained because people leave, you know, and it's really hard to send people out for a 40-hour training when you're already short-staffed. So our plan now is to bring the trainers here. We are tentatively planning to hold the training in October 2026, and USAFE will be asking to retain some unexpended FY26 city funds to help pay for this. I want to thank Christy Fassbender from IFHS, Chief Operating Officer, for reinvigorating our quest to improve our community's response to sexual assault, and I look forward to bringing the council and the community more information about our plans in the near future. Can I have 30 more seconds? Finally, I'd like to announce that USAFE will be holding our Unalaska Celebrates Pride event on Friday, June 12th at the Burma Road Chapel from 5 to 7 p.m. This event will feature food, friendship, family, and fun, and will celebrate the beautiful diversity of our community. It's well documented that queer and questioning kids, especially those whose families are not supportive, are at a 5 to 8 times higher risk of suicidal ideation and suicide attempts than their straight counterparts. And holding a local pride event sends the message to our LGBTQ2 spirit plus youth and adults that our community is, for the most part, a loving and accepting one, and that they are safe to be who they are and free to love who they love. If our pride event helps even one young person fight off thoughts of harming themselves, then it's worth it. We invite all of you to attend and enjoy some food and fun and celebrate the freedom to live authentic lives. If you have questions, please call USAFE at 581-1500. Thank you.
Thank you. And I did receive that email this afternoon and started putting one together, and I got diverted doing some another meeting, so I'll finish it in the morning. Then I'll send you a copy. Thank you. Any further comments or introductions?
Mayor, I have one. APIA emailed community input and announcement for tonight.
Okay.
So they are having their fourth annual substance misuse symposium, and this will be held in Unalaska from Wednesday, May 6th until Friday, May 8th. So on Wednesday, they will have Wednesday, May 6th features a day for college age students interested in studying and providing healthcare services. On Thursday, May 7th, they will have a presentation for seventh graders and freshman students at the school and an afternoon workshop for the community on how to help a loved one with an addiction. On May 8th, they will have a presentation again for seventh graders and freshman students at the school, training during the day on SBIRT, or screening, brief intervention, and referral to treatment, and medications for opioid use disorder for healthcare providers, nonprofits, emergency personnel, and general community. Then later that evening, they will have a reception showcasing APIA's behavioral health and community health services, along with presentations on substance misuse, naloxone, and Careline 988. On Saturday, May 9th, they will have a safe talk, a suicide prevention training, which will be held at the PCR. So most of their events are at the Grand Illusion, and they are free and food is provided. And lastly, they have on May 9th, Saturday, APIA Community Health Services is offering a training on safe talk for ages 15 and older. So it's a suicide alertness training. That's all I have, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Any further comments or telephone or Zoom?
No one indicated on Zoom, sir.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we're done with community input and announcement. Next is a public comment on agenda items. This is a time for members of the public to provide information to the council regarding items on the agenda. If they don't want to wait until the item comes up on the regular agenda to comment later during the regular agenda, you need to sign up with the city clerk. Please come to the podium and use the microphone and state your name. Does anyone present wish to speak? City clerk, is there anyone on Zoom, telephone?
No, sir. No one made an indication.
Thank you. Next item is a public hearing. Members of the public may testify about any item set for public hearing. You have a 3-minute time limit. Please come to the podium and state your name. The public hearing is now open for Ordinance 2026-09, creating a FY26 Budget Amendment Number 6, establishing revenue and expenditure budget amounts for the Sustainability Fund. Does anyone present wish to speak to Ordinance 2026-09? City Clerk, are there any written or on Zoom or telephone comments?
No, sir. There were no submission and no one in Teams wanted to speak.
Thank you. Hearing no comments for the public hearing, Ordinance 2026-09 is now closed. Next up is our work session. We have a motion and a second to go into work session.
I'll make a motion to go into work session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Luby, second by Councilman Tungle. Hearing no objections, we are in a work session. That's 6:43 p.m. First item is presentation, personnel, and full budget review. I'll turn this over to City Manager for introduction.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In your packet, you received a memo from the Finance Director regarding the personnel budget, personnel operating budget for FY27. And this presentation, part one of this presentation, will supplement that. You also have a copy of this presentation in front of you, and it was provided on your thumb drives in case you want to follow along on your devices. So there's going to be two parts to this presentation. The first part, as I mentioned, will be the personnel budget. And the idea behind this is to give a little more of a visual presentation with some bullet points to help walk through what you see in the wall of numbers, as I call it, in some of those crystal reports that were provided by the finance director and in the written report. And we do also have the finance director online with us to assist with this presentation as needed. So I will walk through through part one here for you, and then we'll move into the second part, which will be a review of the full picture of the budget as you get ready to consider some items tonight. In regards to personnel operating budgets for this presentation, we've grouped the costs together across the enterprise funds and the general fund because these considerations apply to all of those funds across the board. As you see the increase in personnel costs for this year, the key cost drivers Contributing to that are health insurance, which is an increase of 12% for the city's contribution this year. We have COLA, which ranges from 2.75 to 3%, depending on which collective bargaining agreement it is in, and then Title III. We have merit increases through our wage tables, again, through Title III and our CBAs. Medevac insurance rate per employee has increased from $122 to $149 per employee. And then we budget for vacant FTE positions in the budget so that we have that total potential exposure budget for as we move through the year. So your overview of the 2027 proposed citywide budget is $36,711,974. The change from the 2026 budget is $1,913,605, and overall that's a 5.5% increase when you consider those items that I mentioned just a minute ago. The pie chart there shows you the breakdown of what components of the personnel budget that amount goes to. So 60% of that is salaries and wages, 19% of that is our healthcare costs, 15% is towards our PERS contribution for the city contribution, and 6% goes to fringes, taxes, and other. So this chart is showing you a comparison of those same items, that same personnel budget, again, citywide, over the past 5 years plus the sixth year of 2027. And then you'll notice my math isn't adding up because we have two columns there for you for 2026. So as you start on the left-hand side, FY 2022, 23, 24, and 25, those items are either actual budget. Well, their actual budget that we had at the end of those years, what we actually expended for each of those years in personnel. For FY26, the first column you see there is what we budgeted for personnel last year at the beginning of the year during this budget process. And then the next column, what you see is where we're forecasting we will be at the end of this year based on our 9 months of performance that we've seen so far. So you have some variation there due to vacant positions, due to PERS contributions, maybe that we don't have to make as many PERS contributions because of vacancies in different positions. In some cases, we get healthcare premiums returned to us based on having overpaid as they adjust those. And the same thing can happen in PERS. We occasionally are notified that our contribution has been reduced. And then the last column you see, 2027. But the point, what you see in this in general is an overall trend of a continuing to increase personnel costs across the board. Speaking for just a minute about health care in particular and our health insurance, the 12% increase in benefit represents $713,000 increase from FY26. And each 1% change in our healthcare insurance cost is approximately $63,000. The graph that you have there, again, just shows you the 2026 budgeted on the bottom versus what we actually anticipate paying by the end of the year, our projected amount, based on our 9 months of performance and payments and any adjustments. And then FY27 is what we're budgeting for in next year's budget. So just kind of talking about some of those cost drivers a little bit for you in a little more detail. Our COLA and merit adjustments, again, 2.75 to 3%. Those are generally contractual requirements that the council has taken action in the past to establish, and that's why we have those. Merit increases of generally of 3%. Those are in Title III and our CBAs as well from past actions. And these increases really aren't discretionary. They're in contracts and code, city code. And these do ensure competitive compensation and retention, and council discusses those at the time that you have adopted those documents in the past. On the Medevac insurance, it is included in the health insurance benefit. as part of that cost. The increase did go up from $122 to $149 per employee, but they did expand the coverage this year, and they're now going to be including dependents living in the same household as part of that coverage for that increased cost. And the cost was justified based on that change in the benefit provided. A quick overview of our FTEs. We did not add any new FTEs for FY27. All the existing FTEs are funded in the budget, and vacancies are included in the funding in order to avoid any mid-year supplemental requests. And what you see in the graph is just our history of how many approved FTEs we had based on the budget over the past several years from FY22 until what is currently proposed for FY27. Another change that may not be obvious in the documentation there, the wall of numbers, is that we made a change in our how we handle our interns within the budget this year. We've moved all of the intern positions to be housed, if you will, under the administration department. Those were previously budgeted in individual departments, and in some years they wouldn't be hired, or they might need to be requested to shift to a different department or something like that. But that created inconsistencies where you would see swings in a department budget from one year to the next. If we moved an intern from this year in administration to next year in city manager's office, you would see that dollar amount change, and it's sort of creating some artificial swings up and down in that budget. And so by moving those into a single department and managing them there going forward, that you'll see that number consistently in that same budget rather than moving around within the budget. It also provides for centralized management, and it will make it easier for us to shift those to whichever department is appropriately hiring an intern for the year. And that is the overview of the personnel budget summary, or the personnel budget. Overall, again, the cost increases have been driven by the COLA and merit increases, health insurance increase, the Medevac insurance increase, and the fact that we fund all of those authorized positions. We didn't add any new positions. Talked about the intern program, and that is what I have on that part. Jim, do you have anything you want to add on part one, personnel budgets?
I don't have anything to add. Thank you.
So with that, Mr. Mayor, I would open the floor to questions for the council on part one, and then I'll go through part two for you.
Okay, thank you. Any questions on part one program budget summary? Councilman Luby?
Yeah, as far as budgeting for unfilled positions, we have contracted out electrical with Optimera, and because we didn't have linemen to do those positions. And so part of that funding was absorbed by the funding by not filling the positions. So I'm just curious, are we budgeting for Optimera's contract as well as the lineman now?
I just turned my microphone off. We would budget for the contract. Eric or Jim, can either of you speak to, are we budgeting for the positions that you currently have filled by Optimera? I'm just not sure on that.
I would need to double check. I believe there is still an amount in the budget for Optimera from a professional services standpoint, but I do not believe it's in an amount that is consistent with prior years. In other words, I do believe it is reducing, but I'd have to double check that information for you.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Eric.
No, that is correct. There is an amount that is budgeted in professional services as far as the operating expense. And some of the thought behind it is not all those positions will be filled in the city by the end of the year. As you know, linemen are pretty hard to come by. So some of those funds can be utilized to cover those expenses in the contract. And they do also perform other work outside the operations as far as capital projects. So some of those labor expenses may be billed out outside of operations.
So we are budgeting for the lineman that they're replacing, or we're not? I guess that's
yes,
the question.
Yes, we are.
We are. Okay. Yes. So we have, we're budgeting for them as well as the lineman that they are replacing at this point.
Correct.
Okay. And then, and that was another, that just brings me to interim finance. Same thing. We have, a position open for finance director. We also have a contractor. So are we budgeting for both of those as well, or is one offsetting the other?
For interim finance director and for the interim city manager,
yes.
The funds are both in the personnel budget. And what we do is we transfer those over to the appropriate other professional services in the case of the finance director, as Jim's service is utilized, with the idea being that once we hire a permanent finance director, then those funds are already in the right place for that position. So we're not doubling on either one of those cases. We only have budgeted both of those one time. And my salary is coming from personnel, not from, I'm a temporary employee.
I just wanted to clarify if we were basically double budgeting for the same position, because one will go away if the other one's filled or something. So, okay, that answers that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions on part one? Personnel finance. Okay, move on to number two, Jim.
So, thank you, Mr. Mayor. On part two, what I plan to do is give you an overview. This is primarily of the general fund at this point, because that is the area that we are expecting you to potentially make some decisions on with some resolutions tonight. And as I discussed during the last meeting, we got unmuted. As I mentioned during the last council meeting, I believe that it's part of our responsibility to give you a good overview of what the budget looks like, and not only what it looks like for the current year, but I want to provide you with kind of an overview of what that looks like if we project it forward, so you have a good understanding of what the impact might be. I've kind of broken this down into sections as I go through here, and so the first section, I'm going to talk about revenue versus expenses. I've got some charts again to show you on the next slide. It's the really complicated looking one with lots of colors and bars and charts. I want to point out that FY22 through 25 on this first one, sorry, on the second one are going to reflect actuals. The first one is going to reflect budgeted amounts to projected amounts. FY26 on the second one is going to reflect the prorated actuals based on the 9 months. And then for all of the FY27 to 31, you're going to see straight estimates using consistent assumptions, which I will also explain as we go through here. These estimates don't assume underspending or revenue over performance. The purpose of this is really to show you a directional trend, not necessarily a precise forecast, especially for future years. Long-term pressures are really structural and not one-time anomalies. So the first chart is similar to the one we looked at last year. The difference on this one is that area to the left of the dashed line is showing you how we budgeted in the past years. So in each of those past years, again, for a refresher, the background portion, the filled portion that's like a landscape, is your revenues, with the bottom blue being taxes, and then working up intergovernmental charges for services, other revenues, and investment income. And then the bars at the front are expenses, again with the bottom being personnel, and then working up orange is school funding, operating expenses, community support, capital outlay, And in these later years, you're going to see a new block called roof study and deferred maintenance. And those are the items we were talking about last meeting that we kind of said, you know, if you excluded those, that we had reduced the operating budget. So non-personal operating budget. So I wanted to highlight those separately for you just so you can see what that deferred maintenance and roof study portion is estimated to, how it's going to impact our budget going forward. Before we move on, are there any questions on how this chart works that I can help answer?
Any questions?
Okay. So if we go to the next chart, this is the same chart again, but what this is showing to the left of the dashed line is our actual expenses and actual revenue. And as we talked about last meeting, you know, our investment income has really overperformed what we had budgeted, and our budgets, our expenditures, we have spent less than what we've budgeted. And there's a variety of reasons that that happens. I mentioned some of them earlier on the personnel side, things like PERS having vacant positions. Our PERS contribution ends up being less because we don't have those positions, so we're not making the contribution. We're also not paying payroll. Or we don't have a project that we anticipated getting to that we don't do, or people can't travel for some reason. So you end up having some reductions in some of those areas. And that's what you're seeing to the left of the dashed line. And then as you go to the right, the FY26, that is projected based on our 9 months again and where we think we'll be at the end of this year. And then starting with the FY2027 through 31, those are all forecasted or estimated based on some assumptions that I'm going to share with you on the next slides. Before going into that, the key takeaways, the revenues, our revenues are trending flat to downward overall. Our expenses have continued to trend upward, and the gap widens significantly in projected years. Again, it's, we know these pressures have been coming, and it's not due to new programs or government growth. On the revenue outlook side, our trends and assumptions, we've used conservative fisheries assumptions. We don't want to overestimate our revenues and have a prettier picture than what it will actually be. So we've used for those future years a 1% annual increase in sales tax, and that's just based on the estimate that cost of goods will continue to increase. On the investment income, it continues to decline, or we think it may decline due to market conditions, and more specifically in this case, due to the $50 million transfer out to the sustainability fund, we will see less investment income in the general fund account, and instead we'll see that income happen in the sustainability fund account. And then on the raw seafood tax, we did reduce the forecast or the projected amount for that due to the uncertainty around the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council bycatch issues that have been going on. Overall, our taxes remain stable, but they're not growing. Our intergovernmental revenue has remained flat. Investment income we expect to be lower, and charges for services are stable. In short, we're just not keeping pace with the growth. Our revenues aren't growing with the cost increase. On the expenditure side, our trends and assumptions, a 4.5% average annual increase in personnel costs is what we utilize to create those forecast expenditures or expenses. We used a 1.5% annual increase in non-personnel operating costs. Again, costs of goods and services continue to rise. We wanted to program something in there. And then community support grants have been funded at or above the formula for many years, and we expect that that probably will continue. And then school funding continues at historic levels with the maximum allowable contribution and plus the allowed funding above the cap. So we assumed that the council would want to continue those things, and so when you look at those, that's what you see there currently. Undeferred maintenance, we know that has an impact. We've had years of underfunding, and now that's showing up. The roof study alone is, as you've already discussed in previous council meetings, $3.5 million per year for 10 years is the average cost of that, that assessment, of the findings of that assessment. We're planning on doing more facility assessments in FY27, and that we expect that that will add some more cost to our need for deferred maintenance or need for maintenance. And those are to protect our existing assets. Like we've identified, council's identified, take care of the things that we have, and we're trying to do that. In order to do that, there's going to be some costs associated after we get these studies done, these assessments done. I'll also note in the non-personnel operating costs, we did in 2025 move planning and feasibility studies out of the capital budgets and into that operating budget. So if we were to go back to that graph, you would see kind of a big increase in operating budgets between, I believe it was 2024 into 2025, because all of those costs started showing up in your operating budget at that point, and that's why you saw operating grow quite a bit there. It is the correct accounting practice, but it does show an artificial increase, and it makes the visibility of the operating budget to appear to grow in that one-year transition especially. You go to the next slide. And I actually put that slide in earlier, so we can go to the next one. So what is this telling us overall? There's a structural imbalance. Our revenues are basically flat while our costs are continuing to increase. These are due to maintenance, increased personnel costs, and continuing cost of goods increases. This results in a structural gap that we can't easily close with a one-time adjustment. In other words, I'm not sure that we can just cut our way to a solution. So if we go to the next, go two slides from there. So what do we need to consider going forward? My recommendation to you would be to fund FY27 as you've planned through this budgeting process, using reserves to do that this year. It's about a little over $2 million deficit is the estimate. There's a good chance, as we know, with vacant positions and all of that, that we probably won't actually hit that budget number. This will provide us time to do some deliberative planning on how we can fix this going forward. It avoids a rush decision. And I'll talk through a few options for you and some ideas on how we do that going into next year in just a minute here. But I want to point out that I'm not asking you to make a final decision tonight. I just want to share some high-level options for future discussion, and then get some general feedback on this approach and any specific guidance you might have before we bring the ordinance for the budget forward to you at the next meeting. So what I would suggest that we do for FY27 is, first of all, define our service levels and priorities. If you haven't heard me talk about this before, what do I mean? Going department by department, and making sure that we can explain what we're required to do in each department under city code and under any laws that apply to that department. Example, I'm going to use fire department because I have the very most experience in that department. I can speak to it well. We have to respond to fires, right? That is a duty of the fire department. There are other things, and we should define those for each department: respond to fires, respond to EMS, all of that. Same thing for finance, same thing for public works, on and on. The next component that we have to define is at what level will we provide that service. So if I have to respond to a fire, does that mean we want, what do we do currently? How many firefighters do I have on scene in so many minutes? So if my level of service is one firefighter on scene in 20 minutes, that's one cost. If my level of service is 20 firefighters on scene in 1 minute, that's a totally different cost. And so
Once we know what those critical services are, essential services, we can define what level of service we're currently providing as a city, and then we can have a discussion with council, with the community, and figure out what does the community expect, what does council actually expect, and then we can associate a cost with providing it at that level versus maybe what we're doing. Or we can say we need to reduce that level of service, and we can do an associated cost. The other way we can approach that is we can say we need to be in this budget. What level of service can we provide? So there, it gives us some options to talk about it non-emotionally on what services and what level of services we provide to the community. And by, we do that by tying those budgets to service levels. So that would be the first part. The other component that I think we need to do is identify and evaluate revenue opportunities. And I think you consider anything that might be out there. It doesn't mean that you do it, but you need to look at what do these things offer for us in the terms of revenue. How can we capitalize on these things? It could be tax changes. It could be leasing and developing vacant city-owned land. It could be ensuring we're recovering all our costs that the general fund provides service to our enterprise funds. And there's other things out there as well. These are just a few examples. But really evaluating what our revenue options are, bringing that back to council again to make a decision on a policy direction on where we should go revenue related. We also need to look at cost control and efficiency opportunities, look at ways that we can reduce personnel cost growth, evaluate our overtime, our FTE staffing models, look at process improvements or innovations that might be out there that could help us deliver services more efficiently and save cost. And again, look at that holistically and bring that back to the council for policy direction as we try to make this more sustainable going forward. We also need to consider our infrastructure funding strategy. Currently, we fund infrastructure from our reserves, and that's what we've been doing. Would it make sense to consider general obligation bonds? Are there other grants that we're not pursuing? Are there other financing tools we could utilize, low-interest loans, for example, in order to fund the long-term maintenance needs and spread that cost out over a little more time so that on an annual basis it's a more palatable number and reduce that pressure on our operating budget? So the last thing in closing, just kind of a summary and next steps, our FY27 budget as currently put together through this process with the council will require reserve support unless we make changes. The long-term pressures, I think, on our budget, what regardless of what we do with this year's budget, is going to require that we take a close look at what we're doing and make some hard decisions. And then in FY27, I would propose we use that to define service levels, evaluate our revenue options, improve our cost alignments and cost recoveries, build sustainable long-term plan, and then have staff return with some of those options for further discussion in other budget work sessions. Jim, did I miss anything?
I don't think so. It's a lot of information.
A lot of information.
But thank you, Governor. Is there any questions? Councilman Ruby?
Yeah, more comments than questions. I appreciate this. This is actually a really nice presentation that you guys put together, and I'm sure it's a lot of work. And it's nice to actually have some options for moving forward. Coming into this meeting tonight, I was like, I have no solution. You know, it's like, what are we going to do? You know, and I see the deficit and, you know, you have $2 million, and that's if you put the CMMP in the general fund, but we still haven't funded the grants or the, you know, school. So I'm looking at maybe more of a $6 million deficit with those. Am I wrong on that?
The $2 million deficit is assuming, or we assume that you're going to approve those as they currently are. So we included those. If you approve everything the way we've discussed, it would be about a $2 million
deficit. Oh, yeah, because Sherry kind of has the same thing. It was close to $6 million when you add those in there from what you guys show us here. And the $2 million, because right now you're showing a $4 million surplus without the CMMP. And I think the CMMP was around $2 million, 2.2 for the general fund. Anyway, but then this is just for the general fund. But anyway, regardless, it's nice to see the options for moving forward, and I look forward to those discussions, and I really hope they happen because I think, you know, I think there is, we need some change somehow. We're just stagnant and keep going down the same road, and, you know, we're so, every year we are right there, and it makes it really hard. And, you know, it's like, I don't want to raise taxes. I really do, you know, but how are we going to fund things the way they are? So I look forward to different options to review and just kind of go forward. So I appreciate all the work you guys did on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Luby and Councilman Shafstein.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, there were a couple of slides that really stood out to me. The very first one would be the structural issue, and it's not an anomaly. What we were dealing with now, we're not necessarily dealing with a collapse of the fishery. We're not dealing with something that's going to rebound. We're dealing with something that's going to be long-term and enduring if we keep tracking on the path that we're going. The other slide feeds into that, and that's the projection, what our projected expenses are and how they increase or how they compound year after year, and being able to see that prior to this meeting. Prior to approving the budget and so on, was also very impactful for me. Frankly, it kind of feels like we're in a vehicle going about 70 miles an hour down the highway, and the road's washed out in front of it, in front of us, a few miles ahead. And we have a decision to make. Do we apply the gas and go faster? Do we maintain the same speed, or do we slow down a little bit? And it's not a good position to be in by any means. What I do appreciate about this presentation is this is one of the first times where I've seen that kind of forecast presented to council during my short time this tenure and my time on council in the past as well. I can imagine a number of years ago when the wage study was put forward, if this similar presentation was made, the forecast of the impact of the wage study, the council would have a much better idea of where we are at now and, frankly, where we'll be at 5 years in the future. If you look at the bar graph, the driver behind where we're at now and where we're going in the future is really the increased wages and how they compound year after year. Like Councilman Luby mentioned, I appreciate also staff coming back and really taking a holistic look at where we get our money, what are the other resources, and are we recovering what we should recover appropriately? I also recognize that staff trimmed right about 10% out of the operating budget already. I want to say that at the last meeting. I'm going to say it at this meeting. That's a huge thing that I don't recall ever saying. So the fact that staff is already taking action on it before council's even seen these numbers is huge. And I really appreciate that. I think that's testament to your leadership, and I think that's testament to the leadership of the directors as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Shasteen. Further comments, questions, presentation? Councilman Longo?
Councilman Longo, you're muted. You may have to unmute yourself in the top right corner.
I'm not hearing you, Councilman Longo. Unmute if you can't hear us.
Mr. Mayor, he did not raise his hand. The clerk was making sure that you knew he was present online.
All right. Questions? No. Councilman Coleman?
Yeah, thank you. I guess that's quite depressing. But actually, it doesn't surprise me. I've been watching the trends for a little bit, noticing that we're relying more and more on our property taxes, and watching the fact that our revenues aren't keeping up with our expenses. So to actually see it drawn out, you know, exemplifies kind of what it was, I kind of seen, not that I know that much, but I did notice that in how our revenues are coming from, and the fisheries was just not keeping up. And I know that we've talked a lot about diversification in your revenue sources, a lot of ideas, but nothing's come through, and we still rely on them. So, you know, obviously, if you want the toys, if you want the things, you have to figure out a way to pay for them. I guess my questions, because of the later topics that we're going to be discussing, I guess I kind of there's questions I have regarding that aspect, as opposed to future trends, is what the work session was about. The page, I'm a bit confused because the number I wrote in here was $6 million deficit. Maybe I don't have the full revenue sheet because I know that there was a comment about the detailed revenue sheet being available to us, but the one that we have here is not detailed. Are we going to receive a detailed revenue sheet?
Which document is that?
I'm sorry, this is the one that is the general fund budget summary, the one that it was in our packet here.
From this week?
Yes, sir. So,
Jim, can you speak to Councilmember Coleman's questions by any chance?
We will be able to provide you the detailed revenue report. I do apologize for not including that in this go around. I did just include the summary.
So then the sales tax that's outlined here, is that the total 3%?
The $9.5 million is 2% of the 3%.
Okay, see, so that's what's confusing to me about this. I mean, it's still part of the general fund. So the 1%, I appreciate it being pulled out, but it's still part of sales tax, and it's still part of the general fund, and it still goes in part
Councilmember Coleman?
Yeah?
The 1% of the 3% is actually accounted for separately. So the amount that is reported here is for the general fund, and that's the only amount that is included in the general fund. The 1% sales tax fund is what we call a special revenue fund. It is accounted for separately. And so if you think about the amount that would be budgeted for sales tax for the 1% sales tax fund, it's $4,750,000, which is half of what you see on the summary report. That is not in – what you see here is just for the general fund.
And I think the piece – for what's your question, I think I know the answer. And if you add up all the numbers, you're right, they're not going to add up, because a portion of some of these things you're going to talk about later tonight are funded from, for example, the 1% sales tax fund is used to fund a portion of the CMMP. The bed tax is used to fund a portion of the community grants. And you don't have that information in front of you tonight, but that was accounted for in the numbers that we presented you in the slideshow. And where we're coming up with the $2 million general fund deficit is because of the way the staff has planned to apply those other funds in order to meet the budget, to fund the budget.
Which is why it makes it confusing when you don't have the full revenue picture in front of you, and yet you're taking out the expenses that rely on that fund. Those funds. So
I agree 100%, and our intent will be to provide that full picture in the future. Unfortunately, this is a little different process than we've done before. And as we're going through this, we're documenting what's working and what's not, and then we're going to kind of formalize this afterwards. So next year, you actually get the same information presented, and we can give it to you in a more timely fashion than what we were able to do this time.
So, um. Then my next question is, I know you've made some comments about this. I don't have it in front of me, but it's the facility maintenance work they're doing. You called it something. It's comes to about 1.4, 1.8. It's a significant amount, but you put it in the operating budget as opposed to a capital and major maintenance plan. I don't know why it's not in major maintenance plan. Even in, well, I'm going to let you answer.
Yes, Councilmember Coleman. Those items that you're referring to are the ones that were presented during the discussion of the capital and major maintenance plan, but it's things like painting, overhead door replacements, smaller maintenance items that add up to a major item, and they're part of that deferred maintenance and part of the things that were identified in the roof study. And so they're fixing that deferred maintenance issue, but they're not really capitalized type items. They're not going to extend the use of a facility, for example, because we paint it. And so that's why you're seeing those.
Is that, yeah, and there are a bunch of little projects that add up. Okay, not a single project. I get that. It's a significant amount coming out of operating, and you identify operating as services. When I listened to your meeting last time, you kind of talked about there's the personnel and the non-personnel, and the non-personnel meaning those services, the things that are due to the services provided, not the other extra things. And that's getting charged to facility maintenance, even though they do work on other departments. It's just easier in accounting that way.
In the general government side, all of the facilities repairs and painting and maintenance is put in facilities maintenance budget. On the enterprise fund side, those are budgeted separately.
Okay. And is this going to be a kind of basically a one-time first year done thing? Are we going to see that particular line item every year as being a really high cost?
I suspect we will see some things. It depends on the results of the assessments that we do as we really take a close look at our facilities and make sure we have a good plan going forward to how to take care of these maintenance items and extend the life of our facilities, not have these problems. I can't tell you exactly what that amount's going to be, but there will probably be some amount, yes, in addition to the roof projects that we already know about. We do anticipate identifying some more maintenance issues.
Okay. And as we, just as a matter of reflection, as we move into when we start to look into finalizing budgets and going into now the CMMP, I am glad to see you utilizing the 1% fund. That's what it's for. Not to sit and hold for years and years and years, and this had probably good we did for a little bit because it's going to pay off because we're going to be able to utilize that. And so when I look at balanced budgets, yes, I've always really wanted to see revenues equal, expenses equal revenues within that realm. But I do understand we've been holding this money, and that to me doesn't apply because it's stuff that needs to be spent, and it's, you know, thank goodness we have it because we'd be in a real pickle right now. So, yeah, I think that kind of for the rest of the meeting here, I kind of really, there were some things like that I wanted to kind of square out. So, yeah, the revenue page kind of threw me off. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Any further questions? The presentation complete? All right, thank you. Hearing no further questions, we'll receive, at this time, we'll receive public comments and have 3 minutes per person on our work session item, personnel and full budget review. Hearing none, City Clerk, any comments submitted on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir. There were no submissions.
Thank you. I'll request a motion to, and a second to return to regular session.
I make a motion to return to regular session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman. Okay, second. Hearing no objection, we're back in the regular session. Next item is the consent agenda, which there are two items listed. Absent a request from the council to move one or more items to the regular agenda for discussion, the consent agenda is adopted without discussion and with a single vote. The titles of the consent agenda items are Ordinance 2026-09, second reading, creating FY26 budget amendment number 6, establishing revenue and expenditure budget amounts for the sustainability fund, and B, Resolution 2026-21, approving the scholarships to be awarded to graduating seniors of the Unalaska High School. I have a motion and a second to adopt the consent agenda.
Move to adopt our consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, second by Councilman Coleman. We have a roll call vote, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
On the consent agenda.
Mr. Tungle.
Yes.
Ms. Coleman.
Yes.
Ms. Luby.
Yes.
Mr. Bell.
Yes.
Mr. Chastain.
Yes.
Mr. Longo.
He's still on?
Yes, sir, he is.
Doesn't respond, I'll call the vote. I'll call the vote 5-1. Not hearing from Councilman Longo.
Councilmember Longo responded yes in the chat. Apparently he's having an issue with his microphone.
All right, that's good. With the roll call vote of 6 yes and 0 nays, the consent agenda is approved. That this the council adopted the ordinance 2026-09 and resolution 2026-21. I'll call for a break at this time, maybe a 5-minute break, and then we'll come back to the regular agenda items. 5-minute break. We have 2 minutes, then we'll call back to order.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Can hear you fine there, Anthony.
Okay. Got it taken care of. Thank you.
A couple of minutes, we'll be back. Okay. One minute to call to order. 1 minute. Okay, we'll call back to order, please. At 7:39, back in session. Item we're on now is the regular agenda. Persons wish to speak on the regular agenda must sign up with the city clerk. You signed up?
Yes, sir. So, yes, sir. We have folks who signed up for our regular agenda items.
Okay. Yeah. First item on our regular agenda is Resolution 2026-22, establishing the sum to be made available from the City of Unalaska to the Unalaska City School District for fiscal year 2027. May I have a motion and a second?
Move to adopt resolution 2024-22.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Tungle. I'll turn this over to the city manager for introduction.
Thank you, Mayor. You have information in your packet, memo from staff on this item. The school submits their budget to the city council by April 1st. It was submitted on March 31st. We have 30 days to act on that request. If not, it is automatically approved. And so that item is on your agenda tonight to review and discuss. Their request is in line with what they've requested in the past, requesting a funding to the maximum allowable cap and then some funding outside of the cap as well, as you have traditionally done.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any comments or questions from city council members? Okay. Hearing no discussion, Councilman Longo, any comments on resolution 2026-22?
I don't have any questions regarding it. I do support this.
Okay, thank you. City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
Yes, sir. We have Ms. Kim Hainish from the school and Alaska School District.
Okay.
Superintendent.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council. Yeah, Kim Hainish, Superintendent, here representing our school board. Just appreciate your guys' consideration of what we've asked for the fiscal year 27. Listen to your guys' future. I think we're very much aligned with that we're all going to be struggling, and I hope that our ask is doable for the City Council to approve. So thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Any further comments, written or on Zoom?
None, sir.
I'll restate the motion. Motion is to adopt resolution 2026-22 establishing a sum to be made available from the City of Unalaska to the Unalaska City School District for fiscal year 2027. I'll request a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Levy?
Yes.
Mr. Chastain?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Tungo?
Yes.
With this vote, the council has adopted resolution 2026-22-60 in favor. Next item is B, resolution 2026-23, establishing the sum to be made available for community support grants from the City of Unalaska to the applicants for community support for fiscal year 2027. I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 2026-23.
Move to adopt resolution 2026-23.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, second by Councilman Coleman. I'll turn this over for further introduction by the city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This item is to approved the community support grants for the year. You received applications from 8 organizations totaling $2,252,752. Those are in line with what you have seen historically, and staff has recommended approval.
Okay, thank you. There's any questions or comments from the council members? Discussion? Councilman Bell?
Yeah, looking at the amounts that are requested and the amounts available, I know we're over that by a small amount, at least 5,000.
luckily this year it looks like, looking at the financials and with what we just discussed, we're going to have a surplus this year. Moving forward over the next couple of years, if some of these projections come true, we may have a different stance as far as taking a look at what we give out as part of these this program, but I'll support community grants as requested this year. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Justine, then Coleman.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree with Councilman Bell. I'll support it full funding it this year. I think that we, based on the slide we saw earlier in the discussion we had, we have some serious things we need to consider. Again, holistically as an entire revenue income and outgoing source, basically. I think that taking a close look at how we fund the nonprofits is going to be critical in the coming year. Whether we maintain the similar formula or we go to some sort of a rationalized approach like they did with the pollock industry and the crab industry, where essentially we would average out what we would grant the nonprofits over a period of time, and they would then get allocated a certain percentage of what it was or whatever staff comes up with to really address our what's going to be a funding crisis in the future. So that being said, yes, I do support this.
Thank you, Councilman Chastain. And Councilman Coleman?
Thank you. Yeah, I was absent during these presentations, but I had the opportunity to go back and listen to the those as given a couple of weeks ago. I kind of debated on this one, and the reason why is that, you know, we do 3.5% per our average budgets for the past 5 years. And when we always do priorities, we like to see expenses stay within like 3%. So always, when I was reviewing these, that's kind of where I feel like we need to, you know, we need to lead by example. We're expecting staff to present us with a budget that is, you know, 3% within that or justify it. I think that we should be following, we should be doing that too. So when we do these grants, that's kind of like the guideline I go by. So this one doesn't meet that, obviously. And so that was my debate, is do I look at trying to meet those standards and getting these to reduce to be a little closer to what we've set as our goal. And I figured I probably wasn't even going to get very far if I even tried this year. And I decided not to. I think that unequivocally, you can't replace the work that these groups do. I mean, nobody does it. They're needed. They're an important part of the community. I mean, so nobody argues that part. It's just, it's where they fit in the community is important. And if you look at a dollar amount, honestly, you got to kind of put it in respect. I mean, we just spent, you know, millions of dollars on a playground. Needed, but I'm not going to argue about, you know, $100,000 that we differ here. So, that's my rationale for agreeing to it, and so I will not oppose the amounts that are presented this year.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Any further comments? Mm-hmm. Councilman Longo, do you have any comment?
Yes. Yeah, these nonprofits are very important for our community, and I support fully funding at this time, and I hope that we can continue to support them in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Longo. Councilman Longo?
Yeah, I agree. These are all important. They're pretty essential with our community. Good thing we approved this when we're getting closer to our approving the budget, so we know where we're at. And, yeah, if changes got to be made, we can see it before we, you know, when we see the budget coming forward. But these are pretty essential, and I hope we can continue funding them as much as we can. But with fishery kind of coming a little bit hard this coming years, hopefully we can still put some money in and fund this. But that's something to work at and to look at. And I'm glad that we can still support, we can still afford to support them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilman Tuggle. Councilman Luby.
Yeah, I think that the nonprofits are super important. They provide a very good service. A lot of them, there's food insecurities that are, they're providing food for people. And as things go, get higher and higher, the cost of living, the cost of fuel is going up, which is going to raise everybody's costs as well. And so these nonprofits are going to probably even be putting out more than they expect this in, you know, at least the next few months until some things get resolved. Hopefully it's going to be important, but it's, you know, $189,000. I think that's probably the least amount in our formula that we've gone above. So I don't think it's a huge amount. I do agree that, you know, we probably, if we're going to have a rule, we should probably follow it, especially if we're asking staff to follow. A few years ago, I tried to actually up that amount because I saw this happening. didn't go anywhere. But anyway, I support this, and I do look forward to reviewing budget options so that we can get within and within our budget. So, but for now, I agree that we need to fund these nonprofits at their what they asked for. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you. It sounds pretty clear that the council supports the nonprofits in this community that are very important to a broad base of our people in this community. And I think we as a council, I agree with some of the council members mentioned, looking at the formula and where we're going to be at next year compared to where we are this year. You measure everything by price of gasoline right now. We'll see a great, we'll see a lot of things happening where costs to operate these facilities are going to go up. They're not going to go down. So we need to find the funds to make this happen in our community. So keep that in mind when we discuss this in October through December. On how we work this formula and try to bring back the same amount of funds to the nonprofits. City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
Yes, sir. We have Ms. Anfisha Tudikoff.
Okay.
Long, everybody. Anfisha Tudikoff, Culture Director for the Cowlingan Tribe. the Cowlingan Tribe extends our sincere thanks to the City of Unalaska and the City Council for supporting 2026 Camp Kanaya Community Support Grant application. This seven-day camp serves over 50 youth in grades 4 to 12, offering a space to learn Ununga culture, values, and traditions along STEM and environmental stewardship. Through mentorship and hands-on learning, youth build identity, confidence, and strong sense of responsibility to care for their communities and the places they live, whether in Unalaska or beyond. Your support is an investment in our youth, our culture, and the future of the community. And gunas kazasikus. Many thanks.
Okay, thank you, Anfisha. School district? No? Okay, thank you. Anyone on Zoom or telephone?
No one, sir.
Okay, thank you. I'll restate the motion. The motion is to adopt Resolution 2026-23, establishing the sums to be made available for community support grant from the City of Unalaska to the applicants for community support fiscal year 2027. I request a roll call vote, please.
Yes, sir. Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Chastain?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungo?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Thank you. With this vote, the council has adopted Resolution 2026-23. Thank you very much. Next item is Resolution 2026-24, adopting FY27 to FY36 capital and major maintenance plan. I have a motion and a second to adopt Resolution 2026-24.
Move to adopt Resolution 2026-24.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, seconded by Councilman Luby. I'll turn this over to the city manager for introduction.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this item is your 2027 capital and major maintenance plan. It has 23 projects totaling $20 million and change. And we have talked about those projects multiple times throughout the budget process. The planning director is here to answer any questions you may have about any projects, and the finance director is also online to answer any questions you may have about the budget. As we were going through these previous items, I know we had a question from Councilmember Coleman regarding the total impact of the budget, and it didn't appear in some revenue sheets that you had and expenditure sheets, the summary that the transfer out to cover the CMMP from the general fund didn't appear to be there. I asked the finance director to look at that for me really quickly here, and he did look at that, and you are correct. There is an additional $2 million if you fund the CMMP as is presented tonight that would come from the reserves for a total of $4 million and change that would come from reserves for this year.
Well, thank you. Any questions for city manager or financial advisor, Councilman Coleman?
And we're at 14.5 out of the 1% during this first for the next fiscal year, and that pretty much will drain all our 1% reserves. Is that correct?
That is correct. Staff chose to use the 1% fund to fund CMMP projects as it's intended before using general fund sources that have broader use.
Thank you. I agree. I don't have any comments about FY27 projects. It definitely will have to reassess future ones for sure, since that really much took all of our 1% for those projects. So, but as it stands, yeah, I don't have any other comments.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Any further questions or comments? Hope so. Anyone? let's see. Has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir. No one signed up.
I'll restate the motion. The resolution to adopt Resolution 2026-24, adopting the FY27 to FY36 capital and major maintenance plans. I request a roll call vote, please.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Chastain?
Yes.
Mr. Tungo?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Thank you. With this vote, the council has adopted Resolution 2026-24, a roll call vote of 6-0. Next item is Resolution 2026-25, establishing the rate of levy on assessed property within the City of Unalaska for fiscal year 2027. I have a motion and a second to adopt Resolution 2026-25.
I move to adopt Resolution 2026-25.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, second by Councilman Chasteen. I'll turn this over to the city manager for introduction.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This item is to adopt the mill rate for next fiscal year. And under Unalaska Code of Ordinances, the council is required to set the mill rate prior to June 15th. And you have had some discussions on it previously, and this is a council decision.
Okay, thank you. Well, the council, any council members have comments to regard to this mill rate increase or decrease or none at all? Councilman Bell.
Yeah, I know as we went through this process, we set a goal to look at reducing the mill rate. And we've had some other talks about in the future looking at sales tax and adjusting the mill rate as a package that would, you know, potentially go to the voters at some point. To stay in line with that goal that we look at reducing the mill rate, the fact we have a surplus this year, or will have a surplus according to what we have are showing as far as financials, I would support setting the mill rate at 10.0.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Any further discussion? Councilman, I don't know, Governor. Councilman Tungle. And Councilman Longo, any comment?
As much as I would like to reduce the mill rate as much as we possibly can, after the presentation and showing, you know, the direction that we're headed, I would hate to lower the mill rate by 0.5%, you know, this year and then have to turn around and raise it again in the future. I think that keeping it consistent may be better than dropping it 0.5% and, you know, looking into what we can do to bring other revenues in, or up our revenues so that we can move forward with lowering the mill rate substantially, versus, you know, possibly lowering it 0.5%. So at this time, I'll support it as presented.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Longo. Councilman Coleman.
Is there an amendment on the table?
No, just...
Okay.
There's nothing, no motion yet. We're just in discussion phase. Nobody has made presented a motion. Comments. Councilman Luby?
Yeah, so all along I've been trying to lower that mill rate, and it seems like every year it just doesn't pan out so much. And I, you know, the last meeting, I think it was, we talked about that we probably could go to 10 because this year we do have a surplus. We've had a surplus every year just about for the last 10 years. And so we talked about lowering it, but now we're looking at going forward and it's not looking so good. And a lot of it does have to do with the deferred maintenance that, you know, has been neglected over the years. And now it's going to cost us some money. I'm looking at this year, and by my calculations, we're almost $6 million deficit for the FY27 budget. And it might just be the numbers that I used versus the numbers that I think there's a couple of different things out there. But this was the draft budget that was put out on Friday, and it's on the website that has the very first page that shows the revenue and the expenditures. Anyway, I'm looking at a $6 million deficit with the prospect of going forward and trying to come up with solutions and not stay stagnant. I can stick with 10.5 this year. Otherwise, I would be in favor of reducing it and try to figure out how to reduce our costs. But if, you know, I'm excited to be able to, you know, look forward and come up with different solutions and see what we can do. And, you know, moving forward without making hasty decisions right now. There's a lot of different things in motion. So I'll support the 10.5 right now.
Thank you, Councilman Luby. Any further comment? Okay, as this resolution is read out, there is a 10.5 mils installed in it. Now there be it resolved that the Unalaska City of Unalaska for fiscal year 2027 be set at 10.5. That is the resolution, in the resolution 2026-25. Hearing no amendments, move or second it. We are now at this point, request a roll call vote.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Not yet. Oh. Anybody in public signed up to vote to speak?
No, sir. No one signed up. No one signed up for this item, sir.
Okay, thank you. I'll restate the motion. The motion is to adopt resolution 2026-25. To the city, Unalaska City Council will establish a rate of levy on assessed property within the city of Unalaska for fiscal year 2027. May I have a roll call vote, please?
Certainly, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Chastain?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
With this vote, the council has adopted resolution 2026-25 on a roll call vote of 6-0. Item E is a travel approval, and my recommendation as the mayor is that we are not going to send anyone to the North Pacific Council meeting that's being held in Vancouver. Mr. Kelty will be at the meeting for 2 to 3 days, where they discuss the actions of the council Thursday, Friday, and Saturday on the week on that June meeting. So there's no issues in there that affect Unalaska and fishery at this time. Any questions, comments?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, Councilman Shasti.
The memo in the packet says Mr. Kelty does not plan to attend this meeting in person.
As of this morning, he's on my phone call with him. I called him this morning when I read that comment, and he said he's going to make his way up there for the council deliberation. So we have representation from Unalaska. Further comments? Okay, thank you. Well, Councilman, City Clerk.
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Kelty signed up to speak regarding this matter when we're ready for him.
Okay, we'll keep him on a 3-minute strict limit. Go ahead, Mr. Kelty.
Good luck keeping me at 3 minutes. Anyway, hello, do you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, good evening, Mayor and Council. I'll just be very brief. These out-of-state meetings are very light on substance, and this one, about the main thing that I can that I'm really interested in is the changes, potential changes they're looking at on the research on the pelagic trawl and how that could impact our pollock fishery. So that's the main thing that I'm interested in. They also have a golden king crab specifications for the August 1st crab season on that. And I don't think it's going to change very much from where we're at now at about 4 million pounds. And all, they got the same thing for scallops. But the rest of it is a lot of Gulf of Alaska stuff. So basically, and then they have at the end of the meeting some climate work plan items they're going to be talking about. So the pelagic trawl thing, I think, is worthwhile for my attendance. So I might be there for 3 or 4 days. So that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Frank. Appreciate your comments. Any further questions or anybody else on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Council directives to the city manager, if there are any directives, they need to have by motion and seconded and a roll call vote. Are there any directives? No directives? Okay, thank you. Community input and announcement. This is a final opportunity to provide information to the council or make announcements. A 3 minutes limit. Go ahead.
Good evening, council members, Mayor Catherine McGlashan, Unalaska Visitors Bureau. Our huge event, our annual 20th annual wine tasting fundraiser, is this Saturday. Doors open at 6:30, close 10:30. Friday, I got a phone call from the distributor and said our 12 cases of wine was shipped to Juneau. So, a huge shout out to Aleutian Airways for being so helpful and getting it to us for non-rev. So appreciate Aleutian Airways. Want to thank our sponsors again. Top sponsors, Matson, wine glass sponsor, Animalitos, Optical Aleutians, Unalaska Automotive, OSI, Optimera, Delta Western, Resolve, Wittern Construction, NORAT Saloon, CMA, and Aleutian Airways. RNDC is our wine distributor, and the Grand Aleutian prepares all the great food that pairs with the wine. So the wine has made it. We have 8 live auction items. The first one is a 10-pound case of king crab donated by Unice, a kayak donated by LFS, Matson donated a vehicle transport, Aleutian Airways, 2-round trip tickets, Uncruise, a 7-day cruise in Baja, Mexico, Alaska Airlines, 2-round trip tickets, HX, they're a cruise ship that comes in, the Roald Amundsen or the Nansen, and they donated a lunch on their cruise ship and a tour of their cruise ship, which is pretty neat. Django Jim's is our last live auction item, and that is a fur coat. So we hope to see you there, and I'm excited to see everybody's 1980s outfit. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Luby has an announcement. Jeff, go to the podium.
Okay, I'll use this podium. Thank you. I just wanted to add on to the wine night. After the wine event, we are doing an after party at the Norwegian Rat Saloon with a live band, Aside from Time. And I'm so excited. They've been practicing with 80s music as well to continue with the theme. Come on out and enjoy some music and some dancing. And even if you don't go to the wine event, we'll still be there. It'll be right after the wine event. So I'm assuming around 10 o'clock is when they'll start that. So, and it will go until you can't go no more or until 3 a.m. when we have to kick you out. So please come in and join us. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Any further comments? Or none? Okay. Any no further announcements, written or submitted? Having completed our items on our agenda, we are adjourned at 8:16 p.m. Good night, Unalaska.